Welcome to This Time Next Year Virtual Summit, brought to you today by the Public Speakers Association. I'm so excited to introduce to you the amazing, the incredible Ms. Arlene Gale. Arlene, why don't you take it from here?
Great. Oh, thank you, Tanya. Oh, man, I was just talking about allergies, and we're going to get through this. May cough a little, may choke myself up, but you know, we'll survive. So anyway, thank you everybody for being here. So this month's theme is about considering where will you be this time next year? So where will you be in December 2017? Well, I got to tell you, this topic both excites me and makes me groan, you know, because it really stinks. It stinks like a, you know, the New Year's resolution time. And yeah, I hate feeling that pressure for New Year's resolutions. And I don't endorse New Year's resolution because I personally feel like they're kind of a shallow level of goal setting. So to me, too often New Year's resolutions have, you know, no step-by-step goals for achieving success. They're just blanket statements with not a whole lot of follow through. There's no differentiation either between setting and achieving short-term or long-term goals. And finally, there's no honest look or discussion of things that might happen in your life. You know, when people say, quote, you know, when life happens, there's no honest assessment of that and what it means and how you can stumble and fall and then get back up again. Sorry, having weird things going, weird noises in my telephone, but I'm back now. Anyway, so, you know, as life happens and we stumble and trip and eventually fall, then we eventually give up because there is no meat to a New Year's resolution. The other problem that I find with New Year's resolutions, in my opinion, is that they're most often motivated by shame, fear, anger, guilt, disgust, or even those I'm not blank enough statements. You know, when I say that, we can all substitute, you know, half a dozen words in there. Not smart enough, not pretty enough, not thin enough, not good enough, not lovable enough. And we can go on and on and on and on, right? Because those negative statements are easy to come up with. And they're very strongly tied with negative emotions. So in my opinion, when New Year's resolutions are tied to negative emotions, it's easy come, easy go. They're very easily broken. And then when we fail one more time, what are we left with? We're left with deeper holes, deeper feelings of negativity than what we started with. And those are not good things. So that's not how I want to live my life. And most people I meet and work with, they're fed up with being on that kind of treadmill too. So what can we do differently now in December 2016 to change where we are and what our life looks like this time next year? So that's what I'm going to talk about. Today I'm going to talk about some specific examples for goal setting, for living your dreams. Because, you know, we talk about and we often say dream big, but then nobody ever takes it further than that. We don't talk about, you know, how do you plan to live your dreams? So that's what I'm going to talk about today. I'm going to provide steps that might help you change the way you set goals and check your progress and adjust accordingly, and ways to hold yourself accountable to the things you want to do. So we're going to be talking about taking baby steps towards success. And today I'm going to give you a couple examples. One's going to be from your personal life and one from your professional lives. So, you know, personal goals can be ones that I set to, for example, take care of me, to take care of my spouse or my children or my extended family. They're goals that have to do with making and keeping friends. I want to make new friends. I want to keep the ones I already have and everything in between. Likewise, professional goals covers a large gamut of things. They're goals that might have to do with our education, with continuing education, with certifications for employment or for our work. It may have to do with the work itself. How are we getting along with management and with coworkers? It may have to do with our lifestyle at work. Does our professional life provide us the things that we need in our personal life? And how do family and job work together? How do they come together, or how do they collide? Sometimes people find those issues. So let's take a deep breath and let's get started. There are different ways to start this process. So the first thing that I want you to note here is the fact that I did say that this is a process. What you're going to be creating here is a living, dynamic process. This whole process is going to grow and adjust and twist and turn as you become more empowered to dream bigger because you trust that what you created is actually working. So you have to be willing to take the time and make the commitment to make this process work for you. Because you're worth it, right? Well, you know what? I can think you're worth it, you know, from here to eternity. But by doing these steps and living this process, you're going to become stronger and stronger in believing that you're worth your time and your energy too. So anyway, so I'm going to start with how this kind of works on a kind of a quote technical level, the hands-on nitty-gritty stuff. I'm a writer. Yep, professionally, that's what I do. I write. Anything you need written in the business world, online or on paper, that's what I do. I love to write. It works for me, and I love to write on paper. I love to do to-do lists on paper and then scratch things out as I get them done. There's just that feeling of satisfaction to me. But you know what? I know that process, that method of doing things doesn't work for everybody. As a matter of fact, for my husband, it drives him nuts because he's an engineer. Put him in front of a computer with a spreadsheet, and man, he is in heaven. And that kind of thing just makes me want to cry. So whatever process would work for you in putting these five steps in motion for your life, I'd say right now, just listen while I'm talking and learn the five steps, and then think about it, process it, chew on what way will work for you. So I took a three-ring binder. Again, I like paper. In the three-ring binder, I put two tabs, one for personal goals and one for professional goals. And within each of those tabs, I got three different colors of paper, three hole punched and put in each of the tabs. One color paper was for my short-term goals. Those goals are the goals that I want to achieve between now and the end of 2017, so 1 year. Then I have the mid-range, mid-term goals. Those are the goals that I want to achieve from 1 year to 3 years, so beginning in 2018 to the end of 2020. And then another color paper, the third color, is for my long-term goals. Those are the goals that I will start working on beginning in 2021 and forward. And yes, I'm being optimistic because since I've been using this process, I have a lot less stress in my life, and I'm actually getting more things done. And so I am actually optimistic that I'm going to live a lot longer now than I would have 10 years ago when all I did was stress over what I was doing next and felt like a little hamster on a wheel not getting anywhere. So with that said, here's the secret sauce? Is that what they say? Here's the overview formula of how to go about starting to create concrete goals that move you towards living your dreams. So it's a five-step process. The first step is to identify and write down what is your overall goal. Step two, take that overall goal and break it down into smaller steps. No, you know, bite-sized pieces. And then step three is to set a time frame that's specific to each one of those little bite-sized pieces so that you can hold yourself accountable and that you can make adjustments as necessary. Because when we can hold ourselves accountable and we can make adjustments, then it's okay to say, well, I didn't get this thing done next week, but I can do it this week, instead of just going, I don't know what to do next, I'm done, and quitting, right? So it gives us the ability to assess where we are, where we're going, and decide, is this still important to me? And if it is, it's okay. I may be a week late, but I'm going to get it done. And then step four, which I think is actually one of the most important steps, is to really have a gut check about what are the tripping points, the things that might happen that are going to derail you and keep you from living your dreams, from making these goals, living these plans. And then step five is, why is this goal important to you? So I'm going to give you a warning about step five. if you answer this question using other people's names, like I want to do this because it'll make him happy. When I achieve this, she'll be happy. Or I want to do this for that person. Or you get into those negative emotions of, if I can achieve this goal, I'll be enough, whatever. Okay, if you start moving into that territory, then stop. Just stop. Just reassess, take a deep breath, and look at this goal and decide, is this goal really for you or is it for somebody else? Because this goal setting process, it is all about you. You have to want to do this, because if you want to do it to make someone else happy, it's not all about you. It's about you living their life instead of yours. So that's just one way that that fifth step is so important. So now I'm going to take those five steps and I'm going to give you some a couple of examples of how they work. The first example I'm going to use is a personal example, and it's one that I use because in this country, a vast majority of people make resolutions that have to do with their weight or with being healthy. So let's say, for example, we're going to say in step one that I'm going to lose about 500 billion pounds again this year. Okay, so that's your step one. But how are you going to do that? What's the plan? Okay, step two, my plan is I'm going to work out. Step three, I'm going to add a time frame. I'm going to work out 5 days a week for an hour a day. So step four, what are the tripping points, the stumbling blocks that are going to keep me from losing this weight or working out? Wow, there's so many, if I'm honest with myself, and so I'm just going to write everything as it comes to mind. First of all, who am I kidding? I haven't worked out in years, for goodness sakes. Second, I don't even think I own a pair of tennis shoes or any workout clothes. The next thing I might put down is that I don't have any idea where any local gyms are. Next thing I might put down is, you know, I hate to lift weights. I hate to run, and especially put me on a treadmill. I'm not going to do it. It just seems like a waste of time to me. I love to bike ride if you want to take me out to a state park or someplace that has great scenery, but don't put me on a stationary bike looking at the same four walls. That doesn't make me happy. Okay, so what would make me happy in a workout plan? Well, I love Zumba. I love water aerobics. So maybe those are classes that I want to look for at a health club. So what else can I think of that would be a tripping point? Oh, yeah, let's see. I work 40 to 50 hours a week. How on earth am I going to put in 5 days a week an extra hour of exercise? You know, after again, working 40, 50 hours a week, I take child number one to soccer 3 times a week. Child number two goes to piano once or twice a week. Child number three to whatever. Oh, no. Oh, no, I forgot where I left child number three. Oh, never mind. I only have 2 children. But do you ever feel crazy like that? Does your schedule get so stress-filled that you don't know who you are, if you're coming, if you're going, and yet now this crazy woman is telling me I need to add one more thing into my schedule? It's not going to happen, right? I understand that. I understand that. Thank goodness I only have 2 children. Anyway, so if all of these things happen and they cascade in a negative direction, I'm never going to achieve this goal. So guess what? Just take a red pen and write failure across my forehead again. Okay, that's the bad news. The good news is that now that I've identified all these stumbling blocks, I can take them and address them in step number two. So now I'm going back where step number two only said that I'm going to work out. Well, that's clearly not going to happen because I got a lot of things to do between now and then. For example, before I can work out, I got to find a gym. So step number two now says I'm going to look in the area and see what the local gyms are. And then I'm going to make a list of the questions I'm going to ask them. I'm going to find out, what are membership costs? Are they annual? Are they monthly? What kind of classes do they have? And do they have something that I like? Maybe I might even ask, do they have a kids area? So if I want to work out, my kids will have a safe, fun place to hang out. And then go down to step number three and add time frames for achieving these smaller goals. Based on what else I've discovered in processing this goal setting, I might look at my family schedule and compare it to the gym schedule and say, okay, I can go to these classes on these 3 days, but I made a commitment to work out 5 days a week. So maybe 2 days a week, I can look at my family schedule and see if we can get together and walk as a family or bike ride as a family. That might help me achieve my goal too. The other thing I clearly need to add in my list of things to do that I discovered in my stumbling block step was I need to go out and buy a pair of good workout shoes and maybe some appropriate workout clothing. Again, identify that, get it done, and then that alleviates that as an excuse later. Step two might also include something like coming up with five names of friends or coworkers that might be interested in taking a walk with me at lunch or before or after work. Maybe I can't get in an hour straight every single day, but maybe I can do 20 minutes on this day walking with friends at lunch and then another 30 minutes, 40 minutes walking at home with my kids. So there's lots of ways to do it. Once you know the things that are going to trip you up, you can plan for them and then they become non-issues. The final thing I want to say about this is, you know, your goals need to be achievable and realistic. Because really, who's going to try and lose 500 billion pounds? That number is overwhelming. It may feel like that that's what you really need to do, but it's not realistic. It's not true. So you self-sabotaged from the very beginning. So instead, I'd say step number one is really about setting a goal of maybe 20 pounds or 30 pounds, and then breaking that down and being happy with, say, 5 pounds a month. That's your smaller goal. Can you lose more than 5 pounds a month? Why, sure, why not? More power to you. There's nothing wrong with that. Relish the success and move on to the next step. Remember, this whole process is about setting up baby steps that move you towards success. All right, so those five steps, how do they work in a professional goal? Well, let me tell you. So I want to start with a little story about my son. I have a son who's in college, and every summer for the past 4 years, he's gotten a job with a different engineering firm. And every summer, he tells me how much he did not like that job. He just really didn't. And so the next summer, he's going to apply for something completely different. Okay, so imagine those of you who have teenagers, the eye rolling and the head wagging when his loving mother, that would be me, says something like, "Well, that's just awesome, son. Do you know how much better off you are than your peers? And even most of the adults I work with, you have had some great job experience, and now you know exactly what you don't want to do. That's fabulous," right? I think it is. But again, the eye rolling and the head nodding. So the next summer, he goes and looks for a job that's completely different than anything he's had before, and he keeps crossing things off of the list, the different kinds of engineering things off of the list that are things he knows he doesn't want to do. So I know I'm kind of being a little goofy about that right now, a little flippant, but it is true. You know, I found that with the people that I work with who are trying to start a business or have started a business and they're just kind of spinning their wheels, that they've come from a place where they took a job out of high school or out of college and they hated it. But because of bills and family obligations and fear, et cetera, they stayed in that job being unhappy, miserable for 10, 20, 30 years. I mean, is that really how we should live our lives? I don't think so. I would strongly discourage that. So again, the five steps work for helping people to figure out what do they want to do next. So again, let's review the steps. Step one, what's your overall goal? Step two, what are the smaller steps you can break it down into? And step three, specific time frames to keep you accountable. Step four, what are the tripping points that might derail you? And step five, why is this goal important to you? So in this example, in step one, you might simply begin with identifying why you're unhappy at work. You know, is it because there's nothing new? Is it because you don't get along with management? You know, what is it that makes you unhappy with where you are? So step two is, so what do you want to do about it? Create a list of options and questions that you want to ask yourself or find resources for. Do you want to try for a promotion or a transfer within the same company? Would that make you happier? Do you want to get a whole new job with another company? Are we talking retraining, certification? Do you want to live in another state or another country? I mean, what are the parameters that would limit your job search? Do you want to start your own business? Do you just need to take all the time and talent and skills that you have and put it towards own? Nothing wrong with that. So write down all of these things in step two and then assess a deadline so that you can figure out what the answers are to help you determine a clearer direction. And again, what are the tipping points here that might trip you up? Could be fear of the unknown. If you've been with a company or a business for a long time, you may really have to, you've had a certain comfort level, and you may really have to look at that fear and what it means and how it plays itself out and what you're going to do about it. Often budget can be a stumbling block if you have to go out and buy a bunch of equipment to go into business for yourself. How do you turn that into an action step that you can resolve in step two and three? Another goal might be to find agencies that support small businesses in your area. And you might also start networking in your area to find other small business people. Maybe you find someone in your field who started their own business a couple years ago and they're doing so great, they might want to hire you. So it may not be a complete you're in your own business in your 1 year plan, but maybe that goes to a 3 year plan, but you've made that little step into getting free of the job that you just weren't happy with. So there's lots of different ways to apply these five steps planning goals to plan to live your dream in your life. The key point I'd like to drive home is that you may not have a clear, detailed idea of how to get from one place with the big overall goal until you break it down into little smaller bite-sized goals and then honestly consider what those stumbling blocks are. And then learn how to turn those stumbling blocks into learning opportunities. Opportunities to discover new things, to move forward towards living your hopes and dreams and goals. There are so many things that this process works for, saving to buy a new car, for example, or a new house. How about, do you have a big milestone birthday or a big anniversary coming up, or a college graduation or some other important event, and you want to plan a dream vacation? How about you want to plan to pay off debt or create a savings account for unexpected things so you're not blindsided? So many things that you want to do, so many dreams that you can dare to dream, and you can put them on paper and live them on purpose. So today, what I want to do is leave you with permission, okay? I want to leave you with permission to ask yourself this, if time and money were no issue, what would I do? This is called dreaming. If time and money were no issue, what would I do? But you can sit there all day long and dream and dream and dream. Dream about what you want. Dream about where you want to be, what you want to own, who you want to be with. But you know what? A dream without a plan is simply an illusion. And the longer you dream without planning, and the longer it takes for you to get up and take actions and set your goals down and be able to hold yourself accountable to those goals, the more delusional you'll really get. It's not a very good situation to be in. So trust me when I tell you, try, take one aspect of your life and try and figure out how you can apply these five steps for living your hopes and dreams, for setting your goals. And work on them, like I said, just one thing. So, because again, it's about setting baby steps to achieving your goals. Pick one thing, personal or professional, and grow from there. As you get more and more success, you'll want to try to do more and more things. So again, don't forget the five-step process. Step one, identify your goal. Step two, write down the smaller little bite-sized pieces for achieving that goal. Step three, assigning deadlines so you can hold yourself accountable to those goals. And then what are the stumbling blocks to achieving those goals? And finally, make sure that the reasons for wanting to do these goals, to live these dreams, have to do with what makes you happy, which what will give you peace, what will give you hope, and what will help you see possibilities for where you're going in your life. Again, if time and money were no issue, what would I do? Not only do I hope that you'll dream big, but I hope that you will dare to plan to live your dreams. My name's Arlene Gale, and if you like what you heard today, I would love for you to go on Amazon.com and buy my international award-winning best-selling book, Face Forward, Move Forward. And at this time of year, I just got to tell you, it'll make a great gift. There's great tools in there for living a peace-filled and hope-filled life with possibilities. Also, my email address is arlene@arlenegale.com. That's Arlene, A-R-L-E-N-E, at Arlene, A-R-L-E-N-E, Gale, G-A-L-E, dot arlene@arlenegale.com. In the subject line, if you put the word free, you'll be entered to get my newsletter, which will be brand new starting in 2017. That's my goal. I've said it out loud. I put it on paper, so now it's really going to happen. But when you put the word free, you'll also be entered into a drawing to win a free session with me to talk about goal planning and dream living. So until we meet again, happy end of 2016, and I can't wait to see where you'll be this time next year.